Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
The Midday 180 rolls on as we talk Titans with number 26, Logan Ryan. From 104.5 The Zone, this is the Logan Ryan Show, presented by Edley's Barbecue.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. We are live inside the Music City Performance Studio this afternoon. 12:03 the time, Paul. We say good morning to all the sororities and fraternities across Middle Tennessee.
Wake up, everybody. If you're not up by now, hopes are low.
We're ready to go. Logan Ryan is here, and we are set to begin the Logan Ryan Show. It is 12 o'clock. It is time for the Logan Ryan Show, presented by Edley's Barbecue. Get your holiday party a unique Nashville feel with the laid-back atmosphere at affordable price you'd expect from Edley's. Sylvan Park, East Nashville, and 12 South. Edley'sBBQ.com has the details. We have a jam-packed studio audience today from Operation Stand Down Tennessee, which focuses on helping all veterans and their families by engaging, equipping, and empowering them. And they offer a wide range of services, including employment assistance, VA benefits assistance, networking, housing, and much more. You can find details at osdtn.org. And all of our guests here invited by Logan Ryan, number 26 of your Tennessee Titans, who joins us now on 104.5 The Zone. At least we think so. I know he's here.
It's a grand entrance.
Yeah, give a big
like
intro
to create some to suspense. Here,
ladies and gentlemen, number 26 of the Tennessee Titans, Logan Ryan in the house.
There he
is. Logan has been very busy this week and last week. He had the pet health clinic on Saturday, and last night he was busy giving back to the community through some kids. He hosted 26 kids for the Boys and Girls Club for a Christmas shopping spree at a local Academy Sports and Outdoors, where each child received $200 to spend, which was really cool from Logan. And today, hosting 26 veterans and their families.
I got to get a picture of this sweatshirt. That is a very cool sweatshirt. Let's see what's going on there.
Can you tell us about the sweatshirt you're wearing, Logan? This is
great. Start off with the sweatshirt, huh?
Yeah, it's great. That's right. We start with all the important
it's
things.
It's personalized.
Exactly. No, I had a guy who makes, I guess, his own shirt company, t-shirt stuff, kind of DM me. A lot of people DM me things. I don't really pay him much attention. He showed me this design. He said, I love what you do. Appreciate what you do. I have my own company. I just want to show you this design. If you like it, I'll make it for you. I said, I think it's dope. It's got me. It's got dogs. I'm all for it. I'll wear it. So he sent it to me. I got it yesterday, and I wore it today.
Cool. I like it.
It looks great.
I just want to give a shout out to all you guys showing up today. I appreciate it. I have a lot of respect for our veterans, for our military, for what you guys have done, for what you serve, what you stand for. So I appreciate you coming out today, and I hope you appreciate lunch. I know Edley's Barbecue is amazing, so I appreciate them as a sponsor. Appreciate you showing up today.
Great crowd on hand, and props, Logan, for inviting everyone today. Game week back in a normal week after, what, 3 primetime games in 6 weeks? I think that's right, if you count the Thursday night and then
and a short week Monday next week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, we're good. I like short weeks. I mean, let's get it rolling. I'd rather play 3 games in 11 days like we did, which is tough on the body, but we're in it. It's football season. We need all these games. Right now, they all matter, obviously, in the mode that we're in, the position we're in. It's fun to watch football right now with all the playoff potential, and every game seems a little more important, and this is where it's time to play good ball. So I'd rather get them out the way and line it up and play who we got to play than do what we did early in the year when we had the London trip to a Monday night game, the bye week. It was like one game in like 25 days or something.
Does it feel like a blur now when you think back on it?
Every season is its own marathon, and that's why it's hard on you guys, because you got the right day-to-day. Or, you know, talk things day to day, but it's such a marathon of a season. So every year is its own story. And this year's definitely has been a blur of some highs, some lows, a 7-hour game to start off the season. You know, so we've been in the history books. Derrick Henry's been in the history books. So it's been a good year, but I think we're still in it. I think that the final chapters have yet to be written.
Speaking of Derrick, how much of that game do you kind of get to watch when there's a historic effort going on the other side of the ball? I know you guys have meetings as you come off the field to sort through things, but then how much you get to look up at the scoreboard or peek out on the field, and how much are you aware of what's going on?
We're always watching. I mean, we're getting adjustments, obviously, but I mean, we're there. We're part of the game. We see the scoreboard. I'm watching every play in between of doing what I got to do and making sure I'm good. But I think, you know, for our group, it's quick adjustments at this point in the year. We understand what we did wrong. If we didn't do anything wrong, I don't even want to look at it. You know, I don't look at the tablet each and every play. I just want to know what I did wrong, what we did right, move on. And I was a fan just like everybody else there. I was witnessing greatness, and it was a cool thing to be at. It was all Titans fans in that stadium Thursday night, which was good. A lot of people have been buzzing about it. You saw it all of the highlights. So it was a cool moment. It was a cool part of Titans history.
Do you think, too, damn, these DBs have no idea how to tackle this guy. I could be doing much better.
Yeah, I always look at my value just shoot up. I'm like, man, look at these guys, man. They just cover. And then I'll never get stiff-armed like that and stuff. I mean, Derek's a big guy, but I think, that's a pride of what I bring to the table is being able to tackle, be able to tackle these running backs. I think it's valuable, to keep plays in front of you, be able to get guys down. I think that's the difference of a good secondary of guys who are not only good tacklers. I mean, we obviously know have a tough position of covering and stuff like that. We got to be small. We got to be fast, quick, and everything like that. But you also got to be able to tackle a guy like Derrick Henry's, but willing tacklers. And I think we have willing tacklers on our team. Guys are going to throw their body around and try to get the guy down.
You keep leading me places. Another tackle you would have made would have been in Miami. You would have made it. Devin McCourty would have made it.
Oh, man.
What'd you think as you watched your old buddies give up that play in Miami?
The old Patriot. Let's throw it back to the Patriots here. That was crazy. It's something you don't see from the Patriots a lot, but I mean, that's football. That's why you tune in on Sundays. Anything can happen. I'm sure their fan base is that. I'm sure their analysts are mad at them right now. But, you know, it's football. I mean, the double lateral is a play you don't always necessarily see coming. But, I mean, I saw something that Bill said that, you know, why Devin's not on the field, I don't understand. But I do understand why you might have a jumper on the field because, yeah, he can't throw it 70 yards into the end zone, but it could still – throw it up and get tip it back to somebody else and throw it. So I understand why they had to jump on the field. I don't understand why they didn't have Devin as the guy subbed out because Devin's one of the fastest people and best tacklers in the world, for sure.
There's obviously favorable matchups across the league. What is it about Jacksonville for you guys that makes that matchup so favorable?
I think our offense, they do a good job of running the ball on those guys. I don't think our O-line, I don't think they're easily intimidated. And I think Jacksonville wins a lot of games based on intimidation and kind of bully ball. And I think we stand up to that. I think we see them twice a year and we stand up to it. I think our offense just does a great job of controlling the line of scrimmage. And we know defensively, we feel like we can stand up to anybody. And if it's a physical running game, then we're going to go downhill. And we have DBs that are willing to tackle. And guys just get up for it. I can't tell you. Exactly. I just think we do a great job of controlling the line of scrimmage against Jacksonville. And there's a lot of good D linemen in the game on both sides, and there's a lot of good O linemen. And I think our guys do a good job in the trenches.
What was the scouting report on Kessler? You know, Bortles is not going to start that game. Is their offense practically the same regardless of who the quarterback is because of Fournette, because everything goes through the run?
We just thought it was going to be a run fest just because Fournette was coming back. And, they don't want to turn the ball over. Both quarterbacks are trying. It seems like they're trying not to throw interceptions and trying not to give the game away.
No chances.
Yeah. So we just thought with Kessler, like, he was capable, obviously, but we thought it was going to be 1-2-3, get the ball out. If it's not there, he did a better job of scrambling around and showing some mobility, I think, for himself. Maybe and throwing the ball after that, maybe a little better than. You know, Blake Bortles might just scramble to run. He was scrambling to pass, which gave us some trouble for a little bit of a drive. But I think we adjusted well. But that quarterback position. I said it before over there. It just seems like they're trying not to mess up the game instead of win it. And we know that they're going to hand the ball off to Fournette to try to win the game and play good defense. And when our offense is controlling the line of scrimmage, like they were, much like the Colts who ran the ball on us, weeks prior when they control the game like that with the rushing. It's just so hard to get back into the swing.
The Logan Ryan Show presented by Edley's Barbecue, edleysbbq.com, the website. 25% off for veterans and active military every single day at Edley's Barbecue. Logan Ryan with us. You can interact with him at Midday 180 and at Real Logan Ryan on Twitter. Coming up, the New York Giants. We'll discuss that in a moment. You can take some questions from our audience as well just by raising a hand, and you can chat with Logan this afternoon.
A couple of us waiting to eat, one of us not.
Yeah.
Chad, how's
that to your imagination?
It's great. You know, I really felt like I needed to take one for the team and be able to explain how good it was.
Go ahead.
So I started eating during the break.
Short breaks.
It is delicious. It's
Edley's.
It delivers every single time. Did everyone here, do you enjoy your lunch from Edley's? Good. I asked everyone if they were okay with me eating in front of them. And
after he got his plate.
Didn't even wait for their response.
After his plate. Yeah, they name-tagged everyone, so it's very easy for me to introduce myself to people when I can read.
Yeah.
And they put big lettering on there, too. I don't even need my reading glass.
Yeah, if anyone has a question from the audience, just raise your hand. I'll be kind of roaming around throughout the rest of the show.
So aside from all the things you were doing, Logan, this weekend, like the pet health clinic in Antioch, where it seemed like you had over 100 people bring out their pets, which was cool.
117, to be exact.
Last night, you had the 26 kids from the Boys and Girls Club for the Christmas shopping spree. Did everybody buy a gift for someone else? Did everyone follow the rules?
They did.
That's
cool. I want to break it down. I just want to break it down what's been going on, because it's been super cool. And I want to talk about, you know, why I did it and stuff like that. And, you know, I was at my daughter's, she's three. She had a baseball, soccer kind of learning sports class. And I had a woman a couple weeks ago in that class when the Kareem Hunt thing came out. And she was just like, you know, the video was going around and I was like showing people like, look at this. This is crazy. Look at this. And, you know, and she was like, why do so many NFL players like, you know, do things like this and have domestic violence issues? I wonder if it's because of all the brain injuries and stuff like that. And I at that time I said, you know, that's probably a good thing to look at. Like, you know, a lot of brain injuries and stuff. And I went after class. I was like thinking in my car and I was just like, well, I don't know if it's that much more of an issue than it is just an issue in society. Like if you polled 10,000 people at any job, domestic violence occurs in this world. And I don't know if the NFL is any higher or lower, and it's not, right?
I think they've done studies and
it's the same ratio, which is, I don't condone at all. Obviously, if anyone ever kicked my daughter, I probably would be in jail for what I did afterwards to that person. So so I sat there and I was like, you know what? But could I blame her? Because there are not a lot of positive stories that you hear about NFL athletes. Or if there are, they don't go obviously as viral in this society as all the negative. As a Kareem Hunt, for every 50 good guys, there's a Kareem Hunt that puts so much blemish on what I do. So I said, you know what, I'm just going to flood this holiday season. I'm going to flood it with good news where we have nothing to talk about but good news for a little bit. And people can start to see the good side in athletes, which there's tons of athletes doing this. I'm not the only athlete to ever take kids Christmas shopping or anything like that. But that's just what really made me call up my people and say, yo, let's do a lot. Let's do a whole lot. And not that I'm not already doing a lot, but I want people to see me do a lot and get on the forefront and do that as well as play football, be more than just a football player. So we had the pet health clinic Saturday at Lakeshore Christian Church in Antioch. And I was worried. It was 35 degrees and raining sideways. And I was like, do I want to take my dog out and get a shot in here today? I don't know if I would. But 117 cats and dogs came out, and they got their annual vaccines, and people came out. And it was a 10-minute process. You brought your dog out. The vets were there. Freezing cold. I had gloves on. And they were out there, you know, giving shots with, you know, their bare hands. I'm like, tougher than me. You need a hand warmer at least. They had no hand warmers. But it was super cool. And I wanted to do that because I know this time of the year with the holidays and the Christmas shopping and bills, and it's a spending time of the year, and not everyone has the money to get all the gifts that people deserve or treat themselves. And I wanted to take that off their head and you know, make sure they get their pets taken care of. So for 117 people to think about their cats and dogs on that day when it's raining, and came out, and I partnered with the Pet Community Center, which does this every single weekend. You can follow them, and look, they do this all around Tennessee. I just partnered with them one weekend. So I thought that was super cool, super great people, a lot of people who love their animals out here, which makes me happy. So I think that went great. And then last night, took 26 kids from the Boys and Girls Club, Middle Tennessee, on a little Logan Ryan shopping spree at Academy Sports in Smyrna. And these kids from ages 6 to 16, who they had, I'll show you how it went. They had $260 per kid. And they had to make sure they got a free lunch by Bojangles where they got to eat. And they got to go around the store, and they had $260 to spend. They had to buy two things for sure. They had to buy a winter jacket for themselves to make sure that they had a jacket. Not every kid even had a jacket. So they had to make sure that they bought a winter jacket, and they had to make sure they bought a gift for someone else. And the rest of the money was on them. So I'm trying to find these kids the most reliable, cheapest jacket and some little small gift for somebody else so they can buy everything that they want.
Yeah, save the money.
Yeah, save the money for themselves. Yeah. So we're clearance rack. We're I'm trying to get deals. I'm trying to bring out coupons for them. I'm trying to get them everything. But, I mean, the one girl, she had 8 brothers and 7 sisters. And she bought every single body something in her family, her brothers and sisters. 15 people she shot for.
Wow.
And bought herself one little thing, which was the jacket that she had to buy herself. So that right there, like, there's 25 other stories like that of people. Some had some had very little, some had none at all, to be able to go out and enjoy themselves and just show the Christmas joy of just so thankful to even think when you have nothing, you're still willing to give to others. I think just warmed my heart so much and made me be so grateful that I was giving and made me feel like I can give so much more than I'm giving. I had a shout out to Ty Smith, who's on IR. He showed up. Dane Kirkshank, a rookie, could be doing anything he wanted to do. He showed up, and Brandon Trawick, pro bowler, came out all the way to Smyrna to help these kids. And Ty had these three little kids, and they each had like $40 left over. So they just got $40 of candy at the counter, like sodas, Coke, Sprites, like hot Cheetos. And I'm like, Ty, is this what you're... He's like, hey, we're getting every dollar's worth. I'm like, Ty, he's like, it's Christmas. I'm going to make sure they get it. I said, Ty, they're going to eat this on the way home. So, but no, it was super fun. My wife was there, a whole bunch of volunteers. But the kids were so respectful, so grateful. They all said, thank you so much. And it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
It's awesome, too, that you had a bit of a long weekend after those 3 games in 11 days, like we're talking about. And I know a lot of guys were, and I'm sure you did your best to get your rest, too. But you squeezed in 2 big events, you know, to help out other people when you could have been home with your feet up. So, and that's part of what makes you the guy that you are. And we appreciate and respect that.
Yeah. And you know,
and this event too.
Yeah. I would have done it anyway. It didn't matter the time. Yeah. This brought me more energy and more gratuity and better karma in my life than kicking my feet up. This was better for me than it almost was for the people, who I was providing. And even the people today, like I appreciate again, I appreciate their service and what they're here today and take some time to come hang out with us and interact and talk some Titans and talk about the holidays and talk about some other things too.
Well, while I will say that the videos and things that circulate nationally get a lot of attention, in this community, in this market, what you're doing will go a long way.
Yeah.
It is noticed.
Oh, for sure. And I think that was more for myself to say, you know, I'm tired of a Kareem Hunt situation kind of putting the normal person think that all NFL players have an issue.
And the league's had a good year. And then Reuben Foster and Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
Come out same time, and all of a sudden the spotlight's back on bright, you know. And the league's had a really good year, entertaining product.
Yeah,
no bad headlines. The anthem stuff quieted down in terms of being in a battle with the president. All that stuff. Been a very good year for the NFL, and then these two headlines kind of seized the day.
And that's good to have the local headline with Logan
for sure. And that, you know, if it's local, that's good to me. I know what I'm doing in my heart. I know. You know, the people that I'm helping and I see people every single day, and I tell people why I started a charity in animal welfare. I meet a lot of good people doing it. I meet the people in it are better than the animals sometimes.
Let's go to our studio audience, which includes members from Operation Stand Down Tennessee. Chad Withrow in the audience.
Got Bobby here. He's got a question for Logan.
Yes, sir. First off, I want to say thank you so much for being here and inviting us. This is awesome. Your professionalism on the field is something to be commended, and the leadership that you bring to the field, dedication to win, never quitting, is applicable to, I think, everyone, no matter what job or what they're going through. One thing that was captivating to me on some of the clips I saw on YouTube was your desire to come to Nashville and to not only lead other people, but create a machine that will lead other people. What are some things you do day in, day out to ensure that happens?
Well, I appreciate everything you said, and thank you again. You know, I talked about it when I signed here in free agency. I was playing for New England, and we were watching. I would watch film of about to play a team, and the Titans were kind of playing the same teams that year, the same AFC teams. And I saw this defense and Dick LeBeau at the time, and it was just it looked like a lot of fun to play for. And when I had an opportunity in free agency, and I knew I wasn't going back to New England, Tennessee offered me, and they offered me a contract that believed in me, and it offered me a contract that said, we believe you're going to grow into this type of player and this type of leader. And I loved it. I loved to. It's always great to have someone believe in you, which I felt like John Robinson, the Titans, did. And I didn't know much about Nashville. I felt comfortable moving my family here, and everything coming down here has been better than expected. I'm a homeowner in Nashville. I'm an avid part of the community. But I just saw a group of players who played extremely hard on defense, and I felt like they were missing a piece. I felt like they were missing pieces in the secondary, and I feel like I could bring that. And not only do I feel like I can bring a good corner who's versatile and likes to tackle and likes to cover and loves to play and loves to practice, but I feel like I can make the people around me better. And then we brought in, drafted Adoree Jackson, and Kevin Byard was coming off his first, his rookie year, and he really blossomed. And my whole goal as a leader is not to just demand and not do. So what I wanted to do was be the first one in the building every day of the secondary, which I am. I want to be the last one to leave. I wanted them to see that not only am I one of the better players in the secondary, one of the higher paid players in the secondary, but I deserve it and I earn it daily. And I try to do that with my work ethic and my attitude, and during the game, of I'm willing to go out there and leave it all out there for my guys, for my brothers. And they know if I'm willing to fight and leave it out there and play through injury and play through pain and be there at 6 a.m. or 5:30 every morning and leave at 6 p.m. every night, I think that they're willing to do that as well. And I think that has blossomed. And we went from a group that was 2 years ago, before I got here, the worst, bottom five in the NFL, to top five in a year, in a year and a half. And I don't think it's all talent. I think a lot of it has to do with sacrifice. And I just wanted to bring sacrifice to the group and a lot of pride. And I think we're doing a good job of that so far. But like I said, our mission isn't finished yet at all. We're at the critical parts of it. And not everyone may not have believed all throughout or might not believe now, but we do. So we're going to keep going.
If someone wanted to beat you to the building, because I know you take pride in being the first one there, what time would they need to get there?
I'm not always the first one in the building. I will say that Mariota sometimes beats me to the building.
Of your position group, though.
Oh, no, I mean, it would be maybe LeSean Sims, and it'll have to be earlier than, 6 a.m., which is possible. I mean, people have done it. People get up earlier than me and do it. But
what time's Adoree? No, I'm not saying Adoree's lazy. We know Adoree's a late riser and likes to, show up real, gets out of bed and shows up moments late.
Adoree's there when he needs to be there. He's never late, so he's on time. So we're good with me. It doesn't matter what time you get there, as long as you can perform well on Sundays, So Adoree's always cordial. He's always early. He's just not as early as me.
So do you get more done? Like, could you stay at home and do film if you wanted to and all that stuff? Or do you get more done at the quote-unquote office, at the facility?
So here's the reason why I get up early and I rather go in early, is because I want to get my body ready and do all those things, because I don't want to miss time with my kids. And I don't want to do massages and watch film when my daughter comes home from preschool when she comes home at 5 o'clock. I want to be there, and I want to be able to play with her until 8 p.m., and then when she goes to bed, I want to be able to spend an hour or two with my wife. So instead of me watching film and not paying any attention to my wife or not playing with my kids, I want to be a father. I want to be a full-time father. I want to do events like this on Tuesdays, but I'm just waking up at 5 a.m. and doing all of my business and my work before work, and doing it so I can do both. The last thing I want to happen is be a great football player and my daughter tell her friends, well, my dad was a great football player, but he never really was a dad. That's what I fear. And so I try to sacrifice sleep and try to wake up early and do things like that. And when Adoree and them have kids, then he'll probably have to do that. But hey, when I didn't have kids, I wasn't getting up at 5 a.m. either. So my kids were going to get up at 6:30 regardless on an off day. So I'm up early anyway, so I'd rather get up a little earlier than them, do some things, so when I'm home and they're home, it's full-time dad mode and we're playing.
Doug Matthews talks college football with Charles Davis every Saturday at 10:15. Presented by attorney Burt McCarter. Part of Forklift Systems Sports Saturday on 104.5 The Zone.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's, the Logan Ryan Show presented by Edley's Barbecue. Titans and Giants, you can hear the game this Sunday right here on 104.5 The Zone and Titans Radio. Logan Ryan with us. The matchup against the Giants, a team that's playing its best football of the year and then of the season right now. Well, they've won four of their last five. They've won two straight. They're trying to put some things together at the end of the year after starting very slow out of the gate. What have you noticed in your film study this week?
I mean, they have so much. Well, four of the last five games have been averaged. Their four last four wins, they've been averaging 30 points. So for them to win, how they've been winning has been lighting up the scoreboard. And you understand why. They have a talented runner. They have a athletic tight end. They have as good a slot receiver as we've seen. And they have, obviously, one of the best receivers we're going to see. So they have a lot of explosion on offense. And, you know, a lot of people think you're going to go in and just play this Giants team, and they have nothing to play for, and they just explode on you because they have talented players, and it's a National Football League. Like, you've seen it last week with Oakland. You see it with Cleveland. Teams can get beat. If you don't go out there and play, you're going to get beat. And if we don't go out there to play against the Giants, that could easily happen to us, as we know, learn from this year. So we got to go out there, and we got to neutralize our threats. I think this is a great opportunity for us as a secondary, as a prideful player, to say, I want to win my matchup with Odell. I want to win my matchup in the slot. I want to make sure we tackle Saquon. He's as good as any runner in the league right now. So I think they have a lot of explosion, a lot of talent on the team, and we got to bring our game. And this is I keep saying must win. This is survive in advance, like we've been saying for weeks. It's survive in advance and keep it moving. So this is another game where backs are getting the wall. We got to come out aggressive. We got to survive in advance.
What impresses you the most about Saquon Barkley?
He's just balance. He's got a lot of, obviously, a strong lower half, and he has balance where he's able to jump over, jump around, run through type of guys. So this is a team almost similar to Fournette. I think he's a little more explosive than Fournette, but Fournette's pretty strong. But this is going to require a team to play good defense. It's not like it's going to be one person versus Saquon Barkley. The corner's got to show up and tackle. The safety's got to fill and tackle. The linebacker's got to hit their gaps, and the D-line's got to win up front. So it's going to require team defense, which we think we do a good job of.
Eli Manning over this win streak playing much better than what we've seen to begin?
For sure. I mean, averaging 30 points. I mean, he's still a willing and able quarterback. He's smart. He's going to understand coverage. He's going to understand where to go. And they have matchups. It comes down to one-on-one matchups. And when Odell's one-on-one, they're going to throw him the ball.
Are they pushing it downfield, though?
Are they pushing it downfield? I need to watch more to tell you that.
Okay.
Like, consistently. But
No,
I'm not saying that. I don't want to sit here and just, I'm not their offensive coordinator. I don't know. I remember last year, you know, I remember doing a show last year and you guys were like, Flacco, he doesn't throw the ball downfield at all. They're like the shortest passing offense in the NFL this year and they're not averaging nothing. I was like, what? He has like the biggest arm in the NFL. And I think in the first quarter, he threw like 10 shots up on us and we knocked them all down. Luckily, cause I wasn't listening to you guys and playing for all short stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, so like, I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, why not?
How much is Barkley involved in their passing game?
He gets 25 touches a game, which I think is like second most in the NFL. So he gets the second most touches in their passing game. He gets all the running touches. So he's extremely volatile, and he gets the second most touches in the NFL. So whether they're going to throw it to him, run it to him, he's going to get the ball a lot. So I think he's definitely a guy that we're targeting to try to neutralize.
Well, when a guy like Beckham does so much out of frame, but that's abnormal in terms of being able to go up and get the ball and the one-handed stuff and all of that stuff. Is it important maybe as you're watching him not to think about any of that stuff and just play him straight up and regular and to not let any of that stuff creep into your head that he makes ridiculous plays sometimes?
Well, you got to play him like he's a good player because he does a lot of things explosive at the line of scrimmage. He creates separation and he catches the ball well. So, yeah, you got to play him straight. It's the National Football League. It's not the first receiver I ever played that's, you know, that is a Pro Bowl, all pro receiver. We got one in our conference that is good as anybody in the league. I don't care what you say. Anybody watch DeAndre Hopkins play, as good as anybody in the league. So he makes crazy catches. But listen, as a DB, if a guy makes a one-hand catch on you sometimes, you're in good coverage, guess what? That's the nature of the beast. Sometimes LeBeau used to say, sometimes you get the bear, sometimes the bear gets you. So many people are afraid because of Twitter and stuff to be embarrassed that they don't even try, and you end up on social media anyway. Like, that's when you step between those white lines, whatever happens, happens. And we're trying to embarrass them. We're trying to win. And you know, and that's what he does. And he makes those catches. But look, if he makes a one-handed catch and you're got him draped in coverage, that's a talented play. Credit to him. But a guy's not going to live or die on making them all the time. And that's why I think, you know, corners have done a good job on relatively on him this year, but he's still going to get his.
Would you have been embarrassed if you were any one of the three Jags trying to tackle Derrick Henry on that 99-yard run? And you yeah. you made all 10 top plays on SportsCenter's top 10?
Oh, yeah, I would have been embarrassed because, you know, if I got stiff-armed three times, yeah, I'm embarrassed for myself. But, I mean, there's I would have tried a little differently than that.
You would have gone low gone at low. Least after the first stiff
low.
Arm, right?
Yeah, I would have went low for sure. But, I mean, I just think that was a that was a lack of effort on their part and a tremendous amount of effort on Derek's part, which is a key to winning football games. It just seems like it's almost like the Patriots play that we talked about. I mean, should so-and-so been on the field? I mean, someone else maybe should have tackled him. It's just a lack of effort and not focus in that play. And it was a tremendous amount of focus and effort by Miami. And those are the little things that, you know, help you win games. They're actually big things. They're big parts of winning games. It's focus, it's effort, it's pride, it's will. And those are things that you can't always measure at the combine. There's always things you can't measure in a guy until you see him play.
Who's in charge of dinner plans on Saturday night in New York from your group?
It's normally it'll normally be me or Kevin Byard rounding them up and figure out where we're going, but it's going to be a little different. You know, I'm from New Jersey, so I'm going to have family up there, so I might do family.
About an hour and a half away from New York?
About an hour and a half, but, you know, they play in Jersey, so we'll be staying in Jersey.
Right.
We're not going to stay in New York. Traffic's too crazy. So
we're going to NYC.
Yeah, well, you know, you're big time. We talk about
got a little more free time.
He's in first class on the flight.
Straight to New, they're dropping you off in New York City, and they're dropping me off in Newark.
You can join us. Yeah,
Hunt's
yeah.
gonna parachute out exactly. over Manhattan.
He lives the life, man. He lives the life. But yeah, I might be with some family and catch up around the holidays with some family.
Okay.
Actually, my brother's avid listener, Jordan Ryan. He actually texted me something. He said he's seen a study where the arrest rate among 18 to 30-year-old men is drastically lower in the NFL than the average person. So, you know, we're not doing way worse than anybody else out here.
We need Jordan on the show with you one day.
Yeah.
He's got to call in.
I want to hear the story about Sean Green from your brother.
Yes.
I want to hear it from his perspective.
All right, we'll have him call in.
That'd be good.
Hey, may need Jordan to help you today on pick six. I hear David Reed's been waiting patiently.
Yeah, the thing about Jordan is, though, when he gets nervous, he stutters. So I don't know if we have enough time. He'll be stuttering.
Shot. And he's listening right now.
No, he's listening, yeah.
And people think I'd take shots.
Yeah.
David Reed, the floor is yours for pick six with Logan Ryan.
It's the pick six with Logan Ryan.
Intercepted, and there he goes. Logan Ryan going to take this one for a touchdown. Picked off, taking it all the way back for the touchdown is Logan Ryan.
All right, Logan, so today, of course, as everyone knows, is National Noodle Ring Day. We know that you're very health conscious, but if someone like yourself were to partake in a particular pasta, what pasta do you choose?
I thought it was noodle ring, like the pool swimming.
No.
I'm completely confused here. I'm healthy, so I got to go to wheat pasta. Anything wheat, maybe a wheat macaroni or a wheat, something like that.
Wheat macaroni.
Take all the good taste out of it.
David Reed is disgusted upstairs.
That sounds terrible. So let's go to this one. If you were stuck in an elevator, who would you choose to be stuck in an elevator with?
I mean, off the top of my head.
Don't say your wife. It's too easy.
No.
It's too easy. It's a cop out. Yeah, okay, good.
I'm loving what Shannon Sharp's doing on TV right now with his whole show. Shannon Sharp cracks me up, so... And Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless and that whole set, that would be great.
You'd want to be in an elevator with them, though.
Why not? That's entertainment.
If you got Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless in an elevator, I wouldn't mind if they cut the cable.
That's the only thing that sounds worse than wheat pasta.
We're not Shannon Sharp fans here?
He's all right.
It's fine.
Skip.
I don't want to be in an elevator with the guy.
Yes.
Skip's unbearable.
Fill in the blank here. One thing I fear is...
One thing I fear is not giving it my all. Not trying.
Getting stiff-armed by Derrick Henry?
You'll never see that.
Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
This is a long debated issue. Yeah,
it's like it's a hot dog and sandwich.
I don't think so. I don't think it is.
That's the correct answer. It is not a Christmas movie. It
just happens to be set at Christmas time. It doesn't make it a Christmas movie.
You hear the groans, they're like 50-50. Some people believe it is.
They're wrong.
So you were down there in the performance studio today with some fine members of the military and their families. If you had to choose to enter the military, what branch would you choose?
I like that.
Keep in mind the audience there.
Yeah, I mean, no brainer, the Army.
What are we, 100% Army here? Who's not Army?
Any Marines in the house? Navy?
Navy in front.
Air Force? Coast Guard. Okay, no one Coast Guard.
Everybody
Coast Guard's
Coast
last
Guard
on Logan's list, by the way.
No Coast
Guard. Based on that response.
I'm like Lee Corso, man. I just throw on whatever mascot head I'm on, wherever I'm at on the road.
To put the Navy goat on your head and tossed it for an Army sweatshirt?
Get out of there alive.
Reed, well done.
Appreciate it.
Logan, we appreciate you, man. This has been fun.
Another good show.
Thank you for inviting members of Operation Stand Down Tennessee. This has been a lot of fun. You're going to stick around, take some photos,
for sure.
Sign some gear, and much more. Big thanks to Edley's Barbecue for providing lunch. Always delicious and always 25% off for veterans and active military every single day at Edley's Barbecue. Good luck this week.
Yeah, thank you. And reading up a little bit about this, the foundation, Operation Stand Down Tennessee, it seemed like they do great things. You know, the veterans obviously are great people who've done a great thing for our country, so they definitely need the support, and I encourage people to donate and read up on it. And just like I did to invite this group down here, I think they couldn't be any more deserving. I appreciate you guys for having them and giving me the platform to spotlight people like this who deserve the spotlight more than athletes do sometimes. So look up on them. I'm sure you guys will post about them.
We have, yeah. OSDTN.org is the website for more information on that. Logan's going to get some rest from the long weekend of charity work to go play the Giants. That's rest for you after the weekend.
I got to go to West Nashville Target and hunt down a pink Barbie mobile or something that my daughter wants. The only thing I got one left in stock that Santa's bringing her, so I got to make sure I get that.
Godspeed.
Hopefully they're listening over there and they're going to put it on layaway for you.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Logan, thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.